2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's pray one more time as we're on our way over. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord, and thank you so much, Lord, for a beautiful time of worship and praise today. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord, that you love us and that you have a word for us today. Lord, this is an important one, and I pray, Father, by your Spirit, we have an ear to hear, please. Holy Spirit, you're the real teacher, so you need to open up to us our hearts and minds. You're the one that has to open up these truths, Lord, and around my biases and prejudices and blind spots. What an interesting word, blind spots, Lord. By definition, we just don't see them. So Holy Spirit, you have my permission. Please show me what is your heart today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians. Hey, isn't this like teaching number 4 from this chapter? It is, and I think it's that important. Would you join me down there in verse number 14? Remember, the church there at Corinth, I think, was near and dear to the heart of Paul. He was here for 3 years. And his first letter to them was kind of unsettling because he had some harsh things to say. Oh, harsh, perhaps not the best description. Correct, rebuke, and exhort is what he tells Timothy later. He had to do all three of those in his first letter. The response was largely, Paul, seriously, dude, you know, come on. There are lots of other churches that will tell me stuff that I want to hear, and Paul wasn't like that. And so some people doubted if he was even an apostle at all. So in 2 Corinthians, his letter is telling, I think, his most in-depth, most closely held truths and principles. It's one of the most honest letters I think we have for Paul. And toward the end of chapter 6, he's telling them something very, very, very important. Verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Most of us know that. And probably we heard this, well, hopefully we heard this, in our premarital counseling sessions. Do not, how many of you remember no missionary dating? And you were like, what? Yeah, I'm going out with so-and-so because they have, well, are they saved? Well, no, but they said they'd go to church with me. No missionary dating. Yeah, he's not a Christian maybe right now, but he has such potential. Don't be unequally yoked together. It is very, very important. And we also learned last week that the word used of Jesus as a carpenter and of his father is the word technos. It's where we're going to get our word technician. He was an expert. He knew a thing or two about making custom fit yokes for your animals that were, in many respects, your tractor trailer. Don't be unequally yoked together with anybody else that's not like you in your passion, in your devotion, and commitment to Jesus Christ. It will become disastrous quick enough. But I want to take it a little bit further than that. Let's keep reading. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? It's a rhetorical question. What's the answer? Well, it shouldn't have anything to do with that. And what communion has light with darkness? Not just the physical properties of light and photons, but also the idea of truth, really, and being deceived. They can't cohabitate, or they shouldn't. Verse 15, and what accord has Christ to Belial, one of the idols strong in this region? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God, if you will, the house of God? And in Paul's setting here, this would be the church. What agreement has a true house of God with idols? None. For you are the temple of the living God, he says, as it is, as God has said, I will dwell with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's a prophecy out of Ezekiel 37. Therefore, says Paul, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, citing Numbers 33, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Last week, we looked at an interesting principle. Hopefully, you have in this section here somewhere written Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 4. And boy, was it sort of an unsettling idea. It goes something like this. I won't go into the whole message. We did it last week. But Ezekiel 14 is where some false prophets were coming to the prophet Ezekiel. And these were false prophets because either they were prophesying out of their own sort of, you know, here's what I feel. Or, as we'll see today, it could be much worse. But here's the point. They had idols. What's an idol? Was it a little figurine that you took with you? Was it a kind of a, these are the gods that do whatever to my business or help me with my marriage and raising my children? Perhaps. But a better definition, I think, is an idol can be anything in our lives that has set itself up against the knowledge of God. When God's word says A, B, C, go this way, and you look at the very same verses and you go, I don't know about that, and you choose to go another direction, that is an idol. The enemy knows about our idols. In fact, he was likely a strong force in getting those set up in our thinking. We're pretty sure we know what's up, you know. The other political party, they don't, you know. The Republicans think the Democrats all came from some other planet and vice versa. And when someone doesn't agree with me, I get it. There's a part of me that goes, you know, someday you'll figure it out like I have. I don't know. But all of us have biases and blind spots. We all do. And some of those blind spots are attached to something that we're pretty sure is the real deal. The Bible could describe that as an idol. And idols are difficult, if not destructive, in the Christian's life. Because again, God's word says, I need you to do this. And something in you says, nah, that Bible verse doesn't what? Apply to me? Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. What is that? That's from the root word to mean to diminish or decay. Let nothing come out of my life, my mouth, about that guy to somebody else, forming a triangle. And I'm saying something to somebody else. This person is not a counselor. It's not a pastor. It's not anybody who can affect a change or help to heal. I'm just venting. And I'm diminishing this person to that person. Some people call that gossip, but we don't believe we ever gossip. So we like to call it a prayer request. About this guy. The Bible says quite plainly, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Only that which is good to the necessary edification, that it will impart grace to the hearers. That's what God's word says. But when I'm driving home to my spouse and I'm nursing and rehearsing what that person said, well, I won't say it at church because, you know, I might get busted. So I wait till I get home to my spouse and I almost said vomit. I'm glad I didn't say we vomit. I'm glad I didn't say that. We just unload on our spouse, you know. There it is. There's what? God's word says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. There's something in me that says, yeah, but it's my spouse. When do I get to stop doing God's word and utilize my own sort of great wisdom to think that in this particular case, it doesn't apply to me? It looks pretty silly on somebody else, but when it's closer to home, it's tough for us to see. And last week in Ezekiel chapter 14, it was for me, it's quite sobering to be a pastor and a teacher responsible to rightly divide God's word and share with you. Ezekiel 14, these false prophets were coming up to the prophet Ezekiel. And as they were walking up, the Lord says, hey, Ezekiel, here comes these guys. He says, everyone of the house of Israel, God's house, who sets up idols in his heart and puts before him that which causes him to sin. And then comes to the prophet, if you will, the word of God. Ezekiel is modeling God's word, what you have in your lap. It's a model, the same thing. And then comes to God's word. In other words, they're kind of going to the word to sort of, what, vindicate? Strengthen their argument? Why they get to be this way to that person when the Lord says, don't, you know? Is that possible? Do people sometimes go to the word searching for something that's going to justify their non-biblical behavior? Yeah, I think it happens. And if that idol in our life is strong enough, if we will not listen to the Lord's knocking on the door of my heart, in fact, we're sort of wiggling because as God usually does it, he's bringing us into a narrow place. Ask Balaam about that. A narrower, narrower, narrower place. And in Balaam's case, you know, the donkey sees the angel with the flaming sword. Shwing, you know, this is my lightsaber. I watched the last installment of a Star Wars last night, and I'm thinking Jedi. The Padawan learner says. And there's the angel of the Lord, you know. And the donkey sees him, but Balaam can't, as per usual. The donkey can't move left or right, so he sits right down. And then Balaam gets really mad at the donkey. Dumb donkey, you know, stupid donkey. Oh, I hate you, beats the donkey. And then the Lord, the Bible says the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. excuse me, why are you beating me? I just saved your life. There's an angel with a flaming sword. And he starts arguing with the donkey. What do I mean? I'm time out. Dude, you're talking to your donkey. And then the Lord opens up Balaam's eyes and he sees the angel. You see, sometimes God sends us to a narrow place and he is trying to get us to see it. There's something we're holding on to. There's an idol we're almost certain. In fact, we would die on this hill. It's my passion. It's my mission. It's my ministry. I don't mean to be flippant about that, but people are pretty sure what people are pretty sure about. What if it isn't? And we won't let go of it. Ezekiel 14, verse 4 is absolutely frightening to me. What if someone, one more time, everyone in the house of the Lord, Israel, who sets up idols in his heart, won't let them go, can't see past them, and he puts before him what causes him to sin. And then comes to the word of God, I will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. There are people in the church today who believe with all of their heart, A, B, C. They get to fill in the blank. Is it possible that that might be something that is an idol? God said. It is not unusual for the house of God for people to stand up and they would pass a polygraph test. They believe it with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thus saith the Lord to me, I'm supposed to be doing this. How do you know? Well, there's a number of models in the Bible to let us know. But let's say, for instance, and for our sake of study today, let's say that that is an idol. And they won't let go of it. Does God allow those false prophets in and among his people? That's a real and legitimate question. Would he dare do such a thing? What's the answer? He will answer them according to their idols. In the case of the person who won't give this idol over, God says, fine, you're not listening to me, then I am going to supernaturally speak to your heart through that idol. No, I'm supposed to do this. Yeah, but look at the fruit of your marriage. So many leaders in the house of God and in the family of the Lord Jesus who so believe they're doing God's work, and here's how you know it's not. Why? Ask their wives. Ask their husbands. Is there the fruit of the Spirit in that home? Ask their children. Examine the fruit of where they really live, their literal physical address. What's going on in the home? And the church is full. And I know I've been around the church a very long time. And I was one of those for a season, a long season. literally running from the homework that was needed and necessary to be done with my marriage, and spending countless hours running at full speed for the ministry. Arriving home a time or two and heavy sigh. Oh, if only my spouse, you know, would do this, A, B, and C, then we'd have it. But coming home is a drag. So I'll disappear into my study and read about the things of God. Is it possible that God could have answered my inquiries according to my idols? It's a possibility. And there's something more. That's the principle. I will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols. That's the principle. Now we're going to show you the model. If it's really important in the scripture, that's how you'll see it. You'll see a precept, thou shalt or thou shalt not. You'll see a principle. Nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt not, not eat monosodium glutamate. It's not in there. I've looked for the scriptures. But is there the principle of your body is a Holy Spirit, a principle, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, we saw today. Is there a sort of a principle, take care of your body? I think so. And nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. But are there other sort of principles that apply? I think so. And then there's always a model. There's a precept, there's a principle, and then there's a model. This is a powerful notion I'm bringing to your ears today. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, you speak, please, through me and through your word. I believe that these are the last days. I mean the very last days. On our way to one verse, would you join me in this verse first? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul is saying that in the last times there will become, what, false teachers. And that the church will run after them and heap up to themselves churches. Teachers telling them what their itching ears want to hear. He'll go on to say they're ever learning, but they're never coming to the truth. And don't forget what Jesus said in the church of Laodicea. If you didn't know, those seven churches actually existed at the time. And then as time went on, theologians begin to notice, hey, check it out. Those seven verses are prophetic of the seven church ages that the church will see from the apostles right up until Jesus takes the church out in the form of the rapture. And the last days church, the church of Laodicea, if you get a chance, check it out. They were convinced that they were doing hugely well. And please remember, when humans, when they look at success, we have a definite way of looking at that, don't we? What humans call success and what God calls success is often quite different. The Church of Laodicea, these guys were doing huge. I know your works, Church of Laodicea. By the way, Laos, diocese. Laos, the people. The diocese, the leadership. The people are the leadership. That people tell the pastors what it is they want them to be taught about. If you will, the new term these days is felt needs. And I literally sat in a service 3 years ago in another town, and they stopped the service, and everybody got your cell phone out, and please text, and I couldn't do it because I'm not that good, but there was a 12-year-old next to me who said, give me that before you hurt yourself. And it was this number, you tell us, a huge church, a mega church. If I named it, many of you would probably know which one it is. Please tell us your teaching staff. Please tell us what your felt needs are, and we will devise the appropriate administration and teaching outreach to address it. Felt needs. Please don't ever forget harvest. Please don't ever forget. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, when I showed up to you, Corinth, I determined to know nothing except, say it with me, Jesus Christ and him That's what he said. I determined to know nothing among you other than women's ministries, small groups, various other things. Now, is there something innately wrong with those other groups? Of course not. You telling us we can't get around the Bible study and read the Bible? Unfortunately, most people feel that need because their pastor isn't teaching them verse by verse. But the point of it is, I don't think that's God's best. Can he use it? Of course he can. But please remember, in the last days, Laodicea, the church congregation says, Pastor, you'd better teach A, B, C, and have available to us this program and that program and this program, else we're walking. We're voting with our feet. Because if you don't do it, there's another church down the street that's doing a bang-up job on that one. And there I was in this mega church. When we were waiting to get into our service, there were three services in the morning. How many of you guys remember the serpentine velvet ropes that you have at Disneyland? You are 5 hours away from your ride, you know, and then you're 4 hours, and then almost there. Then you put one foot in the ride, and they say, well, the ride's down. Come back and see us in an hour. There was the serpentine. We were all in these ropes, and there were more than 20 doors in the front of this place. And at the precise time, the doors flew open, and this entire sanctuary of 5,000 people exited, and we all hurried to find a good seat. What should we be teaching the people? What do you guys want to learn about? Laos Diocese. The church of Laodicea. Paul said this, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and God will bring who he'll bring. I'm going to know two things, and at 350 South Rock Boulevard at this season in our life, there will be two things you can be assured that will happen anytime we open these doors. We're going to get into our Bible verse by verse. And we're going to talk about Bible prophecy and everything the Bible talks about. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ and what that means, the Christ and him crucified. Tuesday night prayer, Wednesday nights, in-depth Bible study, and here on Sunday mornings, we're going to go into God's word. And I get it. There are people that say, well, you don't have this and you don't have that Bible study. And sometimes when I ask them, you mean Bible study. You're not getting enough Bible on Tuesday, Wednesdays, Sundays, and your own devotions?
Well, yeah.
Then it's not really a Bible study that you're really seeking, is it? It's a connection. It's a community. Watch this. Why is it important that we get this right, Harvest? Look at chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, a.k.a. the rapture. This is when God will come, Jesus will come and gather his church. He's going to bring his church to heaven with him, the rapture. Verse 2, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit, by word, or by letter, as if it was from us. Evidently, this church had received the letter, dude, you guys missed the rapture, huh? Missed it, psych, you know. He's all, no. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the rapture, will not come unless the falling away, definite article, the, a specific and singular event. The falling away comes first. That word for falling away is apostasia. Does it mean a falling away theologically? The answer, yes, huge. Does it also, or could it also mean taken away? Yes. And my personal opinion, and Pastor Chuck used to teach this one as well, I think it's both. But watch this. Falling away comes first, and the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God. We've got teachings on this. The Antichrist is the one who's going to give the Jews, Israel, their temple. And in the middle of that 7-year contract, you can have your temple oblations and sacrifices. 3.5 years in, he calls it off. He sets a statue of himself in the Holy of Holies. That's what Paul's talking about. Verse 5, do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? Now you know what is restraining, that he, the Antichrist, pardon me. Now you know what is restraining, that he, the Antichrist, may be revealed in his own time. For the ministry of lawlessness is already at work. The spirit of Antichrist has been all through God's work since Genesis chapter 3. Most startlingly, in the last little while, Adolf Hitler, in my opinion, was the enemy's desperate attempt to fulfill the book of Revelation. But God says, not yet, pal. Napoleon, Bismarck, and a number of others. There's some criteria why those guys, but the point of it is, God says, not yet, pal, not yet. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, now notice your H is capitalized here. The transcribers, the translators, I should say, they think that this is somebody important. In fact, they think it's somebody like God. That's why they capitalized it. Be careful, here comes a quick little English study. In ancient language or older languages like Espanol and German, Latin certainly, and Greek, and the Greek here, nouns, door, light, stage, person, nouns have an assignment of a gender. And when I took my first French class, I'm all, what? The door is feminine, but the spoon is masculine? What? What? And I couldn't get it. If you've had other languages, you know what I'm talking about. There is a gender assigned to nouns, as well as pronouns. He is a pronoun. It's speaking of a noun or a person. He also should have a gender. But in this instance, in this section of Scripture, this pronoun is not male, masculine, nor female. It is neuter. So, I think that's important. Watch. Only he, somebody, is now restraining him. Who? The Antichrist. And will do so until he, there it is again, a neuter pronoun in the Greek, is taken out of the way. Don't write me, but I know for a fact that this is speaking of the Holy Spirit, and there's a number of reasons why. The Antichrist will not know, we will not know who he is until the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the world. Question, when did the universal nature and the everywhere presence of the Holy Spirit of God, when did that begin? The second chapter of the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on those 120, and who else? The crowd who listened to Peter's speech. Now, the Holy Spirit everywhere around us and the church are synonymous. You cannot have one without the other. If the rapture happens, then the universal book of Acts type ministry of the Holy Spirit goes with him. So you mean there's no Holy Spirit on the earth? No, quite the contrary. Remember, it's the 70th week of Daniel, chapter 9. The Holy Spirit's agency and ministry returns to an Old Testament type expression. How did the Holy Spirit often express himself in the Old Testament? By pouring out through a man, Elijah, Elisha, Samson, and David. And it's going to happen again. Two witnesses show up there in Jerusalem. An Old Testament Holy Spirit economy is restored. But now to our story. And then verse 8, the lawless one will be revealed. There's your Antichrist, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. That's Revelation 19. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of whom? Say it, Satan. Say it with me, power. Say it with me, signs and lying wonders. And there are people that say, rapture, huh? Millions of people suddenly disappear. Right. I tell you what, if it really does happen, then I'll be a believer. Oh, careful. Because what's going to happen? There's going to be compelling evidence that the Antichrist is God. How does that happen? Watch, verse 10. And with all unrighteousness, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, what reason? Hard-hearted, idol-clutching people. Because they wouldn't let it go. Watch. For this reason, God will send them a strong, say it with me, delusion. that they should believe the lie. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God wouldn't do that. Show you an actual model that's in the scriptures. This is pretty amazing. Remember, God always speaks. If it's really important, there'll be a principle. Thou shalt not. We just saw the principle in 2 Thessalonians and also Jesus describing the church of Laodicea. And at the very last days, people are going to fall away from Bible doctrine. Doctrine isn't fun. We want the pastor to teach us what we want to know about, except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then the Bible is saying that in the very last days, because they wouldn't give up their idols, he's not only speaking to them according to their idols, that God himself is allowing a delusion. Are you sure about that, Steve? Please turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 22. Thank you. Chapter 22, verse 1. Who's king of northern 10 tribes region? Ahab. Who's his wife? Jezebel. What have they been doing? Man, they're idol central. Idol central. Baal worship. Golden calf. What you want, we got for you. God has showed up in his life a number of occasions. And just recently, God says, I'm going to save your neck, King Ahab, and I want you to take care of an evil king by the name of Ben-Hadad. Always reminds me of a surfer. Those of you from Southern California, do you remember what a ho-dad is? That's the guys who buy all the stuff, you know, the wetsuit, and they park the $1,000 board in the sand, and they just stay on the beach. So, got the thing on your nose, you know. How's the waves today? Awesome, gnarly. But they never go near the water. That's a ho-dad. We got a poster by the name of Ben-Hadad. And so sure enough, God is faithful. Ben-Hadad is defeated. But instead of killing Ben-Hadad, Ahab says, you know, if I don't kill you, how about you work for me? Oh, yeah. Now, whenever you make a deal with your sin, I promise I won't ever get you again. Promise? Yeah. So I can leave you on my, my favorites, marked on my favorites for my browser. We promise. Ding. Does your sin ever keep its promise? Comes back hard. Harder, actually. So now he's in big trouble. Is Ahab, and he needs some help. Chapter 22, verse 1. Now 3 years have passed without war between Syria and Israel, if you will, Ben-Hadad. Then it came to pass the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, that's the southern two tribes region. For about the last 100 years now, you've had a north Israel and a south Judah, and they've actually gone to blows a time or two to this point. But in the name of unity, ecumenicalism. Let's get all the churches in the valley together. Let's just all get together. Won't that be cool? Unity, Steve, unity. Let's get North and South Israel together. And if Jehoshaphat rings the bell, it should. He's the godly king. There was challenges facing him, and he did the right thing. He called for the word of God, the prophet, and they fasted and they prayed. And God said, here's how you're going to win. Don't send out the soldiers. Send out the worshipers, if you know the story. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That's Jehoshaphat. He's a man of God. But Ahab has a problem. Sin problem, really. And it came to pass in the third year, verse 2, that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. This should be a good thing. Is it? Verse 3, then the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth and Gilead is ours? That's Ben-Hadad territory. But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. So he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me and fight at Ramoth Gilead? Why does he have to fight him in the first place? Because he disobeyed God, and now Ben-Hadad, Ben-Hodad, is making his life miserable. And because he didn't do what God said, now Ahab is in a fix. So I will reach out to the obedient one, Jehoshaphat. Will you help us? Jehoshaphat said to King of Israel, I am as you are. My people as your people. And my horses as your horses. Whoa, 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 Jehoshaphat. With great respect, you are not at all like Ahab. And if you have horses and chariots and people, they're not yours. They're God's. Should you put the two together? Right in your margin here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Be not what? Unequally yoked together with a non-believer. But they got a Christian name badge on. Verse 5. Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, Ahab, please inquire of the word of the Lord today. What did God say if somebody had idols fixed in their heart? Now, they're literal idols there in Ahab's house. You got Baal, you got golden calves all around. He said, put a little curtain over those so when Jehoshaphat shows up, he won't see them. What did God say about that? You try to go to the Word of God with idols fixed and you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, how will God answer you according to your idols? Let's go talk to the Lord today. Verse 5, now verse 6. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets. I hope you have that circled. Prophets. These are men of God. Supposedly. Where are we? We're in the house of God. They gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, the king says, well, shall I go up against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? And they said, go ahead, green light, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. 400 yes and amens. And then they cranked up the band, and deep, passionate worship was felt by the entire congregation. Tears flowing. Boy, did I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but when your leader got up, he talked non-biblical stuff. Just because they look and smell and have the name badge Christian and even have the Holy Spirit schwammy, if that's even the right definition, does it mean that it's a God thing necessarily? Jehoshaphat has the real Spirit of God. Verse 7, 400, you guys, 400. 400. This room seats about 500. 400. Microphone, yes, microphone, yes, microphone, yes, 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 398, 399, 400, go for it. That was me. Now watch Jehoshaphat. He has had the Spirit of God in him, and he's like, something doesn't feel right. Jehoshaphat said, well, is there still prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Dude, after 400, what's your problem? Verse 8. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, well, there is one guy, Micaiah. He's the son of Imeah, by whom we may acquire of the Lord. But watch this. But I hate that guy because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Now remember, he's a real guy here, but in your lap is the word of God as well. I love God's word as long as it's agreeing with me. I hate it when it doesn't. And Jehoshaphat said, well, let not the king say such things. You know, don't talk about the word of God like that. Then the king of Israel called the officer and said, all right, bring Micaiah, the son of Imeah, quickly. And the king of Israel, Ahab, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, each sat on his throne. So we got an official thing happening here, an official convocation. At the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. It was a wonderful church service. The band was really on that day. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chinnanananana, had made horns of iron for himself. And he said, thus saith the Lord, he's a prophet, with these two horns, you know, you shall, and he's poking at something, you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophesied saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and say it with me, prosper. That's a powerful message these days, Harvest. God wants you happy. He wants you satisfied. God wants you to prosper. Is that always so? No. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. For the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Verse 13. And then the messenger who had gone out to call Micaiah spoke to him saying, all right, king wants you. Now listen up, pal. Listen up. The words of the prophets with one accord, they're all on the same page. They're encouraging the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. I hope you have that. Hope you have that one highlighted. The Laodicean church is going to be a number of things, and one of them is they're going to keep telling you how awesome you are. Now, I believe that every one of us has potential that is unlimited. But truth be known, what's really going on in this heart? Jeremiah said it. He said, the heart of a man is exceedingly wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And when a church is majoring mostly on making you feel good with encouragement that you're going to make it and prosper only, in my opinion, that's not the full counsel of God. You remember when Jesus said, unless you take up my cross and die. Paul said, all those, and I looked it up, what does the word all mean? All those who desire to live godly or biblically in Christ will suffer. Really fat checkbook. And always feeling really good about yourself. No. All those who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. By the way, guess where most of that persecution comes from? Other Christians. You better speak encouragement. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. You should highlight that one as well. It's very important for the next couple of verses. Whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Verse 15. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, all right, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he, this prophet Micaiah, said, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you will tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? And so he said, let me tell you what's really going to happen. When you get to that first little section, go ahead, prosper. The Lord will deliver it into your hands. Some people say, this is Micaiah being sort of sarcastic. Go ahead, you know, and that's how Ahab sort of figured it out. Hey, that's not the real truth. Tell me the real truth. And most commentators say, how did Ahab know that? Because of the sneering thing on his face. Go ahead. Actually, how do kids do it? Oh, go ahead. Whatever it might be. Go ahead and prosper. And so some people say he was being sarcastic. No, no, no. Don't forget what verse 14 says. Whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Go ahead. It's going to go really well for you. Is not sarcasm. It is Ezekiel 14. Answering this evil king riddled with idols. Answering him according to those idols. And also write 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 12. God himself is going to send a strong delusion. Why? Because they would not lay down their idols. This is a powerful principle, Harvest. Are you watching us on the internet or listening to within the sound of my voice? I believe we are in the very last days. We are in the church of Laodicea. This is a church that is full of so many programs and things that excite the humans and the powerful and growing throng of attendants that they can barely have enough services to keep them all in. Is it possible that if they're prophesying encouragement and prosperity as a rule and not even telling them the real gospel? Remember, there's two sides of the gospel. Jesus has paid for all of your sin, amen? What's the other side? If you refuse that free gift, then a place that God had made only for the demons and the fallen angels to go, humans will go there too. What? How could a loving God send anybody to hell? A loving God, because he loves you, did everything he knew how to keep you out, including zipping up a human suit and paying for my sin. The gospel is twofold. Get saved. It's glorious to have your mind and heart scrubbed and changed. And the old things will pass away, and old things will become new. That's awesome. There's another part of the gospel. If you don't, it is possible that as you glom onto your idols, even going to a church, you can get so hardened in your idols that God will prophesy through those idols and you'll be a staunch believer. I am so in the kingdom, when in fact you are here. Sunday after Sunday, go prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into your hands, is a steady diet of topical teachings in the churches of Laodicea in these days and even within our own community. And if you don't truly ask the Lord to reveal your idols to you, it is entirely possible that God himself will bring a supernatural deception that you will buy. Let's keep reading, and we're almost done. So the king, verse 16, said to Micaiah, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? You're not telling me the truth. Come on. Then he, Micaiah, said, here's how it's going to happen. I saw in a vision all of Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Who is supposed to be the king or the shepherd of Israel? Ahab is. But they're all scattered. Where'd the king go? Let each return to his own house in peace. What that means is, where's King Ahab? He's dead. Verse 18, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you this guy never tells me what I want to hear? Didn't I tell you that? Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil? And then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. Here it comes. Watch. Harvest, please pay close attention. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Where is God's throne? Heaven. And all the hosts of heaven standing by. These are angels. And on his right hand and on his left. And then the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall or die at Ramoth Gilead? Here's the Lord saying, I want to send this king to his death. Why? Because he will not hear me. He was supposed to take care of Ben-Hodad and he didn't. And now he's in big trouble. And in the atmosphere of let's just get all the churches together, north and south, won't it be fun? I'm going to hook in with me King Jehoshaphat, who is a righteous man. And let's get all the Bible, correct Bible followers in with our nutty gang. And we are going to get destroyed. And potentially Jehoshaphat's going to be in some hot water. Who is going to go that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, these are angels, and another spoke in that manner. What? Verse 21. And then a spirit, mark in your margin there, a demon, came forward and stood before the Lord. And he said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? And so he, this demon, said, I will go out and be a, say it with me, lying spirit in the mouth of all of his, say it with me, prophets. Holy Spirit, come and move in our midst. Is it possible that in the Laodicean church there are false prophets allowed by God? Why? As a judgment on the church itself. Why? Because they won't listen to this. They won't endure sound doctrine. And because they're gathering to themselves teachers, ever learning but never coming to the truth, and they're looking to be taught, I'm going to send them some teachers. And who will they be? They will be false prophets. Because the only way that anyone is going to know what is really true is if they won't listen to the word of God, they follow these prophets. Where do false prophets always take those following them? To destruction. And then in the ash heap, there will be some, not many, but there will be some that will say, Lord, was I not doing something right? Was I not hearing you correctly? Finally, Lord, I'm teachable. Search me, O God. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way of truth. I will go out, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And the Lord said to him, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, says Micaiah. He's pointing to the 400 guys. The Lord has put a lying spirit, one more time. The Lord has put a lying spirit, one last time. Harvest, may we hear this. The Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. And the Lord has declared disaster against you. Zedekiah comes up in the next verse and he smacks him on the cheek. Whack! Prophesy who hit you on that one, Mr. Messenger of God. Is that guy in heaven? Nope, let's all stand. Prophets, especially the false prophets, get really upset when the real prophet of God, this is to say the word of God, speaks. Those following a false prophet or false prophecy get really upset when the real word of God is read or taught. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, I want to lift up the church in Washoe County, Reno Sparks. I want to lift up the church in America. Oh, Lord Jesus, America has been blessed beyond measure. Her very prosperity because of her obedience years ago. Is it possible, Lord, that our lifestyle, which affords to us a freedom like few have ever seen in the world and in the history of humankind. Is it possible, Lord God, that this prosperity and this freedom has opened the door to false prophets coming in and saying, God wants you healthy, God wants you prosperous. God wants you to be encouraged every single time you are in his word or in his house. And are there people with idols in their minds and their pockets who are only too glad to hear that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? I pray in Jesus' precious name, Lord, that yes, last week and today, really do we chew on this. That if I'm not willing to give up an idol, and God has tried, and he has tried, and he has tried, he's brought me to a narrower and narrower and even narrower place. And I'm still yelling at the donkey. I'm yelling at the car that broke down. I'm yelling at the boss who's bumming me out. I'm yelling at my spouse. I'm whipping the donkey, so to speak, and not looking at where I'm standing. Where? Moments from destruction. Because of my hard heart. And I have been following the idols And I have been feeling a supernatural punch to them. I'm certain this is a God thing because of the Holy Ghost chill bump I get when I think about it, or the dream that I got, the physical dream or the virtual dream. And it lives with a burningness in my heart. Okay, but what if it's not God? How do you know? Easy. Let it die. Men's fellowship. Let it die. Is that what you needed to stand for God? Women's ministry. Let it die. Is that what you need to stand firm for the things of God? Young adults, youth ministry, whatever it is, 12-step, whatever it might be, let it die. Just let it die for a while. Fall on the rock. Don't call this brother or this sister for a little while. You get into the Bible. You get the Bible dictionary at hand. You get through and look at the word studies and the meanings and then cry out to the Lord, what does this mean? Take everything I've said this morning and see if these things be so. Are we living indeed in the very last days? And if so, am I surrounded by a number, many, not a few, many, not a few, many go the way of destruction? And is some of that destruction being taught and empowered by a God-allowed spirit of deception? And the people lifting hands high, responding to the powerful music and the lyrics, you're awesome, you're awesome, you're really, 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 really awesome. Prosperity and encouragement all the time. Yet you're still sleeping with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You're still going there on the internet and you can't stop. You've even entertained and contemplated direct crime of some kind. And you're still doing it. You hold lust or unforgiveness in your heart. Could those be idols? And if so, how long before God says, I can't do anything with you because you're holding on to your idol, your vision, your passion. And now you're getting Holy Ghost chill bumps when you think about it. I know this is a God thing. Is it? Can you let it die? Can you lay it down? Harvest family, last thought for this morning. Can you live on your own manna of the Word of God that you have gotten for yourself? And I don't necessarily need Pastor Steve's weekly installments. I get into the Word. I dig out the meanings of the words. I learn the history. I learn the proper understanding of this section of Scripture. And then I tell my spouse. And then I pray it over my kids. And then I live it at work. Holy Spirit, come. If there's idols in any of our pockets, and I keep yelling at the donkey, you are making my life miserable. Are they? Or is it a God thing? In Jesus' name, please teach me, oh God. And everybody said, amen. 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 If you'd like some prayer, come up to the front. We'd love to pray. That was what you call a golf clap smattering of applause. Don't leave this sanctuary if you know you've got business to do with God. Don't leave here until God has fully, fully opened the door. Amen? Love you. We'll see you on Tuesday night prayer.